right. Well, praise the Lord for the special music tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 24, the very last chapter of the book of Joshua. And Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of Joshua and learning so many biblical principles and truths through what God has recorded for us from the life of Joshua. And I trust it's been a help and a blessing to you. We have tonight's message, and I believe next Wednesday night we'll close out the study on the life of Joshua. But another powerful message here tonight as we're looking at the end of Joshua's life. The Bible tells us that he's old and well stricken in age, but God still has a purpose for him. And chapter 24 is Joshua's last counsel to the nation of Israel. And as we look back on that, if they would have just continued to be faithful to that, it would have been a totally different situation for them. But right now he's given the counsel to give them opportunity to live right and do as God would have them to live so that they can have God's blessings. So if you would stand with me tonight, we're going to be looking here in chapter 24, and we're going to start with verse 14. We ended with verse 14 last Wednesday night. We're going to start with verse 14 and read down to verse 18. Verse 14 down to verse 18. All right, before we get started, though, we have to plug in, okay? It's Wednesday night. I could just sense there's just a tiredness in the auditorium tonight. I don't know if it's the heat outdoors. Praise the Lord. It's kind of cool in here. I think it's only going to get better. We've got the air conditioning turning down, so it ought to be nice. And everybody had a hard day, no doubt. You've battled a lot of battles, but you made it to church. That's a tremendous accomplishment. Wednesday night, midweek service, you made it to church. Yeah, praise the Lord. Pat yourself on the back. That's half the battle. That's half the battle, all right? Now, stay awake. That's the other half of the battle. Stay plugged in. Make sure that we're in church because we believe this is where God would have us to be. And if we're where God wants us to be, then he's going to meet with us. He wants to speak to us, and his spirit will bear witness with our spirit if our spirit's awake. If our spirit is open to listening to what God's Spirit has to say to us tonight. And so let's plug into it. Let's receive what God has for us here tonight. Joshua chapter 24. Start reading as I read, you follow right along with me. Verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you now. We do love you. Thank you for this opportunity that you made available to so many and for all that took advantage of it that are here tonight, assembled together. Thank you for what we've already received. But Father, now we just open up our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us through the passage of Scripture we've just read and through what you have preserved for us concerning the life of Joshua. And I just pray, God, that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, last week for chapter 24, verses 1 down to verse 13, what Joshua is doing is revealing the reality of God and his blessings. Now we find in verse 16, 17, the people are rehearsing back to Joshua what Joshua reminded them of, how that God delivered them from Egypt and led them through the wilderness. And so if you look back and if you remember verses 1 through 13, the reality of God and his blessings. Joshua said, I want you to remember that. I want you to know the reality of God. And sometimes we need to be reminded. And we get so focused on whatever we're doing and whatever is going on around us that sometimes we lose sight of God and the help that's available to us through him. And so, and then after that, verse 14, we finish on verse 14, after he reminds them of the reality of God, and then he said, this reality of God ought to lead you to serve him in this way. He says, now therefore, now that you know that God is real, fear him and serve him in sincerity and truth. Make sure that it's reality, it's from your heart. Just don't go through the motions. Make sure that you're serving him in sincerity. Don't be a hypocrite, and in truth, according to his will. And put away the gods of which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. Now, that's where we ended up last week. Okay, with that now, Joshua leads the people to make personal decisions. And that's very important. Not only do we need to make the right decisions as a church family, as a church body, even as the United States of America, we need to make the right decisions as a country. And I trust we can put the right people in position that's going to help lead us to make the right decisions and those types of things. But we also, as individuals, we need to make the right decision. Now, Joshua, again, we find here that he's old and stricken in age, but he wants to use his influence. God would have him to use his influence to be able to get the people to make right decisions. And that's what this chapter 24 is pretty much all about. But he leads the people to the place where now they were to make individual and collectively personal decisions. He says, this is what you should do, verse 14, because of the reality of God. And then in verse 15, he says, now make the decision. Make the decision. No one can do that for you. I mean, you might have been raised to know what right to do, and you might have all the support around you to do right, but ultimately, it comes down to you, your brain, your spirit, your will, to determine, I'm going to do that. And that's why Joshua says in verse 15, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, if you don't want to do that, if there's some devil that's got a hold of your heart and your mind and you don't want to serve the God of Israel, even after you realize the reality of God, you go back and look what he's done for you and all the things, the blessings, you don't want to, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose. You're going to choose. Stop just trying to straddle the fence. Amen? Because you're going to give an account of yourself. He says, so he tells them, he says, choose you this day. Stop putting it off. Stop trying to figure out if you're going to serve the Lord or not. Don't stop giving Satan opportunity to direct you in the wrong way. And so Joshua here led them to this point. He led them up to this particular point, and his influence is make a decision. If you want to choose to serve the other gods, even though our God has defeated all of them, you want to serve that way, live that way, go do it. But make a decision. Stop playing Christianity. Stop just calling yourself a Christian without living like Christ. Now, this is what's going on, and I love it. Joshua's old and stricken in age. Old people can get by with saying things that young people can't get by with saying. And if it seem evil unto you, serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Choose you this day. Can I tell you, we need to encourage and to use our influence to get people to choose Christ. When they have an opportunity to make that decision, to choose him. This is something we find throughout the Bible. Using an influence, whatever that influence is that you have over whoever it might be, to make a right decision. My desire as a pastor that every member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church makes right decisions. I want to use every bit of influence I have in the position that God's given to me as a pastor. As every time you come out to this church, every service that you attend, you're going to be directed with a Bible message, okay, that's going to give you instructions and understanding of God and His will. And then at the end of that, I'm going to use all of that time, all of my preaching time, to get you to a point of decision. I preach the Word of God for decisions. Now, those decisions are not always made public. They're not always brought to the altar, whatever. But I trust that it has influenced you when you've come underneath the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, and that the Spirit of God now has borne witness with your spirit, and He has pricked your heart. If you've got some things in your life that needs to get out of your life, you've been pricked. He's working that way. If there's something that you need to do and getting off the fence and stop straddling the fence and start committing to certain things, that you will have that opportunity and that you will make that decision to start being that kind of Christian or that man or that woman or that teenager that God wants you to be. Joshua says, I'm going to use my influence as long as I'm alive. And we find him using his influence here to get them to this place where he says, make a decision. Choose you this day. Now that's, again, it's throughout the Bible. Look with me at 1 Kings chapter 18. Several years down the road, somebody else who I believe was influenced by Joshua, 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah, the great prophet, he understood that God wanted him to use his influence over a nation of Israel now that have went back on the word when they promised to serve God under Joshua, and now they're serving Baal. And Elijah comes to them. In chapter 18 and verse 21, he says this, Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? You're saying you love the Lord and you're saying that you're God's children, yet you're serving Baal. How long halt you between two opinions? Stop straddling the fence. Stop playing both sides. If the Lord be God, if you know Him to be real, if God is real in your life, follow Him. But if Baal, if that's really who you want to be your God, if that's really what you're wanting to follow after, if that's a lifestyle that you want to live, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. Yeah, but I guarantee you there was great conviction going on inside of their hearts. Because what he was saying is exactly what God was presenting to them. Stop being lukewarm. I'll spew you out of my mouth. I don't want you straddling the fence. I don't want you lukewarm. Follow him. Follow God. Make that decision. How long shall you halt between two opinions? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You say, preacher, you're pressuring me to make a decision. Yes, I am. I'm glad that you understand that. You're giving me that right. You're in church. Amen. You chose. I didn't force you to come tonight. Amen. You have your own free will. And you came because you believe in God. And you believe the church was established by Jesus Christ. And the Bible, which we're going to teach, is the very words of God. And you're wanting God to influence your life. So yes, I am going to take advantage of that opportunity to get you to make a right decision, whatever that might be. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2, the Bible says this, as Paul's writing to the church of Corinth, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now, right now, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Stop trying to decide whether you're going to get saved and get saved. Stop trying to decide whether you're going to get baptized and get baptized. Stop trying to decide whether you're going to become a member of the church and join the church. Stop trying. What I'm saying here is, if you know it to be God's will, then do it. Stop giving yourself opportunity to change your mind. Amen. That's what he's saying. all have a free will. Everyone here, every man, woman, and child has a free will. That means to choose, we have opportunity to choose, means that we have options. You don't have to. But if you believe this, then why aren't you following through with it? If you don't believe it, if you don't believe that God's real, if you don't believe the church is where you need to be at, if you don't believe the Bible, then make that decision and go that direction. But if you believe in God, if you understand that God is real, if you believe that you want His blessing, if you believe this Bible and you know what God wants you to do, then stop playing around with it and just commit to it. Peter, after he preached Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, 3,000 decisions. I love that. 3,000 realize I have a choice to make. And what I've just heard and experienced about the Holy Spirit during this in that apostolic age, and because they believed it, they were saved. Look there with me. Let's read that together. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. I want you to see what the Bible says there about that. Then they that gladly received his word. Gladly, meaning they were excited about it because they believed it. They received it saying, I accept it. I'm not going to reject it. I believe it to be true. Because they believed it to be true, they were baptized. They received it, and then they wanted to identify with their Christianity. They wanted to identify with their Lord and Savior. They wanted to identify with Jesus Christ, and they were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Because he said, make a decision. There's nothing else I can tell you. There's nothing else you need to understand. Jesus is the Christ. He died for your sins. He's given you a free gift of everlasting life. All you have to do to receive it is believe it. Call upon him to be your Savior. Yeah. You see, if people do not make the decision, when God convicts their heart to make the decision, Satan will blind them to that decision. And he will steal that seed of the word out of their heart and their mind. Matthew chapter 13. That's exactly what Jesus was teaching his disciples. In Matthew chapter 13, we don't have time to go through all of it, the idea of the sower and the seed. The seed, he said, is the very words of God. He explains all of it, the word of God. But what I want you to see here is in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 4, he says, his first illustration here, he says, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And I love it because verse 19, he tells you exactly what that is. It's a parable. Now he explains it. He says, when one heareth, verse 19, as he's explaining it, and when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, means he's not agreeing with it. He's not receiving it. He hears it. Whether he knows it or not, he doesn't quite believe it. He is on that fence, if you will. And he understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. If he's on the fence there and he says, I don't know if I'm going to receive it or not. I don't know if I'm going to take action upon it or not. And he heard it. He has an opportunity to make a decision. Then cometh the wicked one. That's the devil himself. And catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. It was in his heart. That means that the Spirit of God had convicted him. The Spirit of God had said, this is true. This is the word of God. This is the decision that you need to make. He catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. When God, as he's doing here with Joshua now, he says, make a decision. There's no more information here. You've seen it all. You know what God's done. You've seen what the other gods do. You've seen how God's children ought to live. You've seen how the ungodly children ought to live. You know what you need to know. You have all the information you need to have. Now make a decision. And if you do not make the decision, or you do not make the decision to follow after God, then Satan will take that seed out of your heart. He'll blind you to it, and you won't make that decision. I wonder how many people are in hell today who failed to make the decision when God told them make the decision. Either they didn't make a decision to follow Christ. You see, because you can make a decision, no, I'm going to live the ungodly life. I don't believe it. I'm going to live this life. Or you can just say, well, I'm just not going to make a decision. By not making a decision when God tells you to make the decision, you've already made a decision. When God tells you to respond to the message, when he has pricked your heart and the Spirit of God has convicted your soul, he says you've already received everything you need to receive. Make a decision. And you say in your heart, I'm not going to make a decision. You made a decision. No one remains neutral. When you fail to make the decision, Satan will steal the seed. And he'll blind you to it. Wow. Church invitations are very important. I tell our staff all week long, we are working toward Sunday. If you're on staff, if you're serving the Lord, Sunday is the most important day of the week. I think it ought to be the most important day for everybody. But if you're on staff, you are being paid to do to prepare everything you can prepare for the congregation on Sunday. You work all week long to make sure that your responsibilities are taken care of and you have everything in place so when the people come through the doors who are coming because the Spirit of God has led them to the church, and they're coming to this church because they know this is where they're going to hear the Word of God preached. They understand that this is a Bible-living, Bible-preaching church. They believe that they're going to have that conviction of God. The music is being prepared all week long. They're praying over what message and music are they going to present. I'm praying all week long, working on messages from every week I do the same thing. By Monday, I'm already looking at the messages I'm going to preach for Wednesday night and Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I'm trying to start directing myself toward that in prayer, asking God, you know who's going to be there every service, and you know exactly what I need to present out of Joshua, or you know what I need to present out of Sunday school series or Sunday night or Sunday morning and all that all week long. But I am preparing everything for leading up to an invitation. And so many so-called churches today, they've dropped their invitation. They don't give the people an opportunity to respond. Where's that coming from? It's not the Word of God, I guarantee you that. Well, you don't want to put people on the spot, and you don't want to embarrass them. And no, just if it takes embarrassing you to get you to heaven instead of hell, I'm going to embarrass you. Whatever it takes to get you to make the right decision, I'm going to try to use every bit of influence I have as a pastor, and this church is going to try to use every influence we have as a song director to make sure the music is in place and everything else is in place so that when it comes time, and what is that time? Invitation. You've chosen. and you made the right choice. Maybe it's just choosing, all right, I received the message, I'm going to apply it to my life. Or if there's conviction and I need to get rid of some things, I need to bring that, take that to the altar. Or I'm confused about this. I want to go. I need to talk to somebody. I need to have an altar worker help me to know how to pray and just what's going on with my life and how this message, how can it be applied? But it's an invitation. That's why make sure you turn your phones off. Because if Satan can work through a phone to distract somebody from making the right decision, he's going to do it. That's why go to the bathroom after invitation. Don't try to get in the front of the line to get out of the services so you can get out of the parking lot first. Can I tell you, all of these things go through our mind, but listen to me. What we ought to be thinking is, this is the most important time. The staff has worked all week long to lead up to this point. The Spirit of God has been working in our midst through the preaching and through the music and the preaching and the teaching to get us to this place. And if you do not have a decision to make at that time, if something is you've just been blessed by the service and you've been encouraged, praise the Lord for that, that happens and that's part of it, then you need to be, Lord, I know there's people here that are lost and need to get saved. And sometimes even if you feel like I'm so impressed about that, I'm going to come to the altar, not because I'm going to confess sin. I'm going to come to the altar because I know that there's somebody here that needs to be saved. And I'm going to come to this altar to pray and ask God to work in their hearts and that they'll get saved today. Spiritual warfare, and we're getting the victory through prayer. To help somebody to take the blinders off, to see clearly. Make a decision. Choose you this day. Now is the time. Invitation. Go back with me. Joshua chapter 24. Somebody's really embarrassed. I think I just heard a phone go off. So I don't know who you are, so that's all right. It's probably the reddest face in the auditorium, that's who you are, okay. Now, Joshua's still using his influence. He just brought them to this place and said, choose you. Either way, just choose, make a choice. And now he's going to use his influence even more. But as for me and my house, we've already made the decision. We're going to serve the Lord. Stop trying to be a secret disciple. I don't know that there is such a thing, but there's a lot of people that try that. Well, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I don't want to tell people at my workplace, and I don't want to make them feel uncomfortable around me and when they know that I'm a Christian. And there's something about a light not being hid under a bushel. When you're saved, you're the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and you need to let your light so shine. You might be the only gospel that some will ever hear or see. You might be the only opportunity for them to see Christ. They don't see Christ at home. They don't see Christ in their neighborhood. They've never been raised in church. And you're in their life for a purpose. Let them see Christ. Let them understand that there's a decision that they need to make. There's a hell that they need to avoid at all costs. And there's a heaven to gain through making the decision to receive Jesus Christ. Well, that's a private matter, preacher. I just don't think that we ought to talk politics and we ought to talk religion in workplaces. And I guarantee you that's what Satan is trying to get you to believe. That is not what your Bible says. That's not what God is telling you. That's what the devil wants you to do, because he does not want you to be a witness. He does not want you to let your light so shine. He does not want you to be an influence for people to get saved. Romans in chapter 10 and verse 11. Romans in chapter 10, verse 11. I'm not going to be much longer, but I want you to get a hold of this, because we've got to make a decision. And once we make a decision, we need to let other people know, I made the decision and you need to make a decision. Let me encourage you. I made the decision to serve the Lord. And I would encourage you to make the decision to serve the Lord as well. The Bible says in Romans in chapter 10 and verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, if you're saved, that's you, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whether you realize it or not, you might be using that excuse, but you're just, could be ashamed. Not wanting to open yourself up to ridicule. Yeah. Jesus had a message for those that want to have that kind of thinking. In Matthew chapter 10, let me just read it to you. Verse 32, he says this. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whomsoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. I think he wants you to tell others about him. I think he wants you to let people know where you stand. Yeah. And use that influence to help them to take a right stand. One other thing that I want you to see here in verse 15, he says, for me and my house. Joshua reveals his leadership and influence over his house. He didn't say, well, as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. Honey, are you serving him or not? Susie, are you serving him? John Boy, are you serving him? He didn't say that, because he was the leader of his home. If you're going to live in this house, you're going to serve him. Are you going to warp their inner person? No, I'm going to have an influence to save their inner soul. See, if a parent leaves it up to the child, it reveals doubt in that parent's faith. Do you leave it up to your child to determine whether they take a bath or not? Well, no, preacher, I've got convictions of them taking a bath. Do you leave it up to that child to brush their teeth on their own? Well, you don't have to. I'm going to leave it up to you. Now, your breath might stink and you might have green stuff hanging out, but if you want to, you don't have to brush your teeth. They were at junior camp this week. I'm sure they've run into a couple of those situations there. Green stuff hanging out all over your teeth. You don't know. They're saying, get in there and brush your teeth. Take a bath. You have convictions because you know it's better for them to bathe than not to bathe. You know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, it's better for them to brush their teeth than to not brush their teeth. Where's your faith in God? Don't you understand it's better for them to believe in God than not to believe in God? It's better for them to read their Bible than not read their Bible. It's better for them to be in church than not be in church. You have convictions about the things of the world and the things of humanity, and you don't have convictions about your faith. Yes. If it's my house and I have control over my house, I have influence over my house. If you're going to live in under my roof, you're going to serve the Lord. Whether it's sincere or not, I don't really care. You're going to serve the Lord. It might not start out as being sincere, but the more you're under the preaching of the Word of God and the more you're under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, it will become something that you will have to make a decision. And you're going to be more likely to make the right decision if you've been influenced by the right things. It's for me and my house. I want you to make the right decisions, choose you this day. But let me tell you something, before you make a decision or not, I can't make your decision for you, but I can make it for me and my house. Amen. And we are going to serve the Lord. Go back with me, we're done. Chapter 24. The people ultimately made the same decision that Joshua had made. He used his influence in a right way. He got all that he could out of his influence. Look what they say. And the people answered and said, "Oh, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up out and our fathers out of the land of Egypt." Where'd they get that? They're rehearsing back to Joshua what Joshua had told them. It impacted their thinking. And now, whether they realize it or not, they are basing their decisions on what Joshua had just filled their minds with. Yeah. I believe your children do the same thing. Who knows if they would have made that right decision on their own or not? We don't know because they weren't left alone to make their own decision. Joshua said, "I'm going to use my influence so that they will make the right decision, the decision that God wants them to make, because it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's will that every born-again believer would identify with him and would live by his commandments. Will they do it with or without your influence? I don't know. I hope you'll never have to find out, because you're going to have an influence. I look back over my life. Would I be preaching today if I didn't have the influence of my parents? Would I be preaching today if I didn't have the influence of others that God brought into my life to help me? I don't know. I'm so thankful that God brought other influences into my life to help me to make right decisions. We all have others that we can have a positive effect on. Everyone here. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Use your influence to help anybody and everybody to choose God. Your influence might make the difference. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. That's God working through you. God was working through Joshua. And through this, we find these biblical principles that are still for us here tonight. Now, Wednesday night, we don't always have musical invitations, but we always have an invitation. I want to always have an opportunity for anyone and everyone who's been under the influence of the preaching and the teaching to be able to make a decision right then and there. You can make it in your pew. You can come to this altar. If you have need of somebody to help you with that decision, there's an altar worker here that can help you. We have staff that can help you. But make a decision. The importance of making that decision. Anyone else? Father, we do bow before you, and we thank you for the influence of your word. God, as we read it, being able to look at the different Bible characters, that you have a message through their life that you've recorded. And even as we come in here on Wednesday night and we've been studying this life of Joshua, the influence his life continues to have on us, what a blessing it is. And I pray tonight, God, that as you have spoke to each one through the preaching, I pray that we would be ready and willing to make the decisions that you would have us to make. Bless these that have come forward. Bless each one. Encourage them. Strengthen them to follow through with it. Be with us now as we get ready to leave. Get us home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name we pray.